The pandemic has decreased the nation's blood supply, prompting the Red Cross to announce a national blood crisis for the first time. Joining us right now is Sarah Warblow, legal director at HRC. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, how bad is this, and what is HRC doing about it?
Well, look, I mean, a shortage in our blood supply is a real crisis for the United States. And we're really committed to ensuring that the country has the blood donations that it needs without unnecessarily limiting those donations. And that's what's happening right now, is that the vast majority of gay and bisexual men are effectively prohibited from becoming blood donors, irrespective of their risk for HIV, because of outdated notions about LGBTQ folks, about HIV. And this really reinforces stigma and alienates individuals from the healthcare system.
No, it really does, because back in April 2020, the FDA released these new guidelines that changed the time limit from 12 months to 3 months. But does that change actually line up with the legitimate science behind that?
It doesn't. We know that what the science really recommends is an individualized risk assessment. Really finding out whether or not people are engaged in risky sexual behavior, rather than predetermining that simply because you are a gay or bisexual man, that makes you a high-risk population.
Definitely. So what is being done to finally change this, and will this be the moment that prompts that?
So there is new research that is happening, that is being conducted to look at those individualized risk assessments. And we think it's critically important that that happens in an expedited fashion. And frankly, even without that research, there's already a whole body of research that shows an individual risk assessment is an appropriate approach. In fact, other countries, including the UK and Italy, have taken that individualized risk assessment approach rather than effectively banning gay and bisexual men from being able to donate blood.
So I do want to talk about, because I do think it's important, how does this impact, this ban impact other queer people? Because the guidelines exist in binary requirements, and I feel like that really has a huge impact when it comes to the non-binary community within our community.
Yeah, that's an excellent question. So we know that it does not impact lesbian and bisexual women at all. It also doesn't impact transgender people. The guidelines allow transgender people to be able to donate blood, including transgender women. But for non-binary people, they're put in this impossible situation of having to determine whether they're going to list themselves as male or female, or be excluded from donating altogether. It's also a shortcoming because, once again, it's not capturing whether or not a particular individual is actually a risk to the blood supply, as opposed to a non-risk.
So is this something that the Red Cross can do to change it, or do we have to wait for the government?
So, unfortunately, the Red Cross, does not have the authority to act here. This is something that needs to be done by the FDA. The FDA is the one that put the restrictions in place back in 1985. And it's also the entity that has subsequently changed the approach that they're taking, right? First, the one-year deferral period and the current three-month deferral period. And so they're the ones that are going to have to act if we're going to move to an individualized risk assessment.
And as we wrap this up, I would love to know, what would you want the media, in the way they report on this, how would you want them to cover this moving forward, especially when it comes to the intersectionality of a queer identity?
Yeah, we want them to understand that this is, in fact, discriminatory, and that it creates real harm. It really does reinforce stigma. It makes it harder for people to have good, healthy conversations with their care providers about safe sex. It sort of reinforces this idea that if you are a man who has sex with men, that you can't be engaged in healthy sexual behaviors. And so we want to take that stigma away and really focus on policies that are going to meet those dual goals of increasing the blood supply and protecting the blood supply. We know the science is there. They should be following the science, and there's no reason not to.
That's right. That was Sarah Warblow, legal director at HRC. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Now coming up, Dr. James Simmons joins us to talk about COVID testing. What's real? What's fake? What's reliable? After this.